Blog Talk Radio.
Education of the Negro, and he is the founder of Black History Month. Today, my guest is Dr. Roxanna Anderson, and I'm going to bring her in so that she can tell you what she does with the National Council of Black American Affairs at Palm Beach State College. So good afternoon, Roxanna.
Well, good afternoon, and how are you?
I'm well. I'm very good. Are you healthy? Hello?
Hello? Dr. Anderson? Okay, let's see who this is. Dr. Anderson.
Hello? Anderson is here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So go ahead.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Two lines open. So I'm just going to tell you who Dr. Anderson is. She's a full-time professor at Palmy State College since 2008. Her PhD is in psychological development with a minor in personality and women's psychology. Her dissertation focused on African-American women in the Black church, psychological thinking, and intrinsic religious motivation. Her research during the past 18 years has been in eating disorders of African-American women, health of African-American women, self-esteem, and religion. She wrote a paper, The Psychology, Economic, and Sociological Roots of Violence, a Multidisciplinary Approach. So, Dr. Anderson, I don't think you can have...
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Yes,
hello?
Don't
you
have
me?
Your speaker... Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh. Yes.
Okay, so don't put your speaker on.
Oh, okay. Let me turn that off. Okay. Is that better?
Yes. So could you please give us a slight overview, two things. Number one, what is your relationship to psychology and the African-American community? And tell us about your relationship as the president of the National Council on Black American Affairs at Palm Beach State College. So
oh.
You have the mic.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate being invited to participate this afternoon. I'm hoping that everyone is having a good day and taking good care of themselves during these very challenging times. So what am I doing and how am I interacting? And I have to say that the National Council on Black American Affairs is a very important cog in the wheel of Palm Beach State College. Just to give you a little background, about 40 years ago, I don't know how many people remember what was going on then, but there was quite an upheaval in the community. It was both a social, psychological, political, and cultural change that was occurring. We were engaged in strikes and walks, and sit-outs and sit-downs. It was both exciting and also very intriguing times, specifically with regard to where we were as African Americans. So at that time, there were a group of young people, they were young at the time, who were members of the American Association of Community Colleges, or AACC. And they had gone through an enormous process to get this organization to the forefront and to be approved by the president and the board of trustees of Palm Beach State. And when they did, it then was taken to the AACC, and then it became one of the councils of the American Association of Community Colleges. So the National Council serves as a collaborative voice, and it promotes the academic success of African-American students, faculty, staff, and administrators. And we do that in a number of ways. One of the ways is to establish scholarships, which we have a scholarship that we recruit students to apply for. We do fundraisers so that they can receive these monies, as well as there are programs for leadership of our faculty and staff so that they can be promoted on the campus. We have student memberships, staff memberships, and of course, faculty memberships. Unfortunately, the number of African Americans of color at Palm Beach State is very low, but we do have a very high representation of staff members in the organization. This year, we were able to present two very interesting programs. One on the bomb heard around the world, and one where we went to see Harriet Tubman, the movie. Which would you like to hear about? So
well,
let's talk about, yes, go ahead.
About both of them.
Okay. So what's important here is to understand that I'm talking about the 60s in terms of when this organization was born. But the incident I'm going to mention occurred back in the 50s. So there were two individuals who were quite active in the civil rights movement. They were Harry T. and Harriet V. Moore. And on their anniversary, a bomb was inserted underneath their home, and they were summarily blown up and killed. Since that time, a number of trials and investigations occurred to hopefully bring the individuals to justice. Some of them were identified, but now, of course, they are all deceased. In fact, one did make a deathbed confession, and that's how the investigators got the name. I would suggest that everyone go and look up on YouTube The Bomb Heard Around the World. There is in Mims, Florida, the place where this occurred, a museum. And what occurred was we, one, had a panel discussion with a viewing of the movie, and we had about 100 in a, between students, staff, and faculty, which is a nice showing, I think, on the Boca campus of Palm Beach State. And this was organized by Sherry Fletcher, a former president of NCBAA. Then was we organized a trip to Mims, Florida, where the passengers on our little bus were able to go through the museum, look at all the memorabilia, then walk through the grounds and see the wonderful trees and things that had been planted in memoriam, and then they went for a repast subsequently. So that was a bomb heard around the world. The other event, both of them were during Black History Month, and we went to see the movie about Harriet Tubman. And again, we all gathered together, we watched the film, and then discussed it at a later point. So those were the two events that we held this year. We were in the process of beginning to formulate what our Juneteenth was going to, when it was going to occur. Right now, we're, of course, in a holding pattern, so we don't really know what we're going to be doing. But we're just one of many people on hold.
So I'm assuming that you'll be doing what everybody else around the world is doing, which is Zooming. We're Zooming around the world now.
I would love to say that that's what the organization is doing, and we probably should do that. The problem occurs because most of us are so involved, and I am very much involved in trying to translate my on-ground classes to an online platform. So most of the work that's being done on campus now is to try to figure out how we, one, recruit students for our summer classes, and we are having summer classes, a full summer. I'm going to be teaching my general psychology class 6 times this summer, and what we're going to do about fall. So that's been most of the conversation. So some of our immediate board members are busy trying to set things up for online orientation, for example. So we've been so busy, we have not had a chance to actually have a membership meeting since our first one, where we had an all-campus meeting along with all the trappings of what we do when we hold a meeting.
Let me say this, that due to the fact that the start date was moved back out 2 weeks, perhaps in that 2 week lull, we can organize an hour or two on Zoom.
Well, I was glad that you brought that up because I do believe that we can do that. I think most of us are now well situated and have things well in tow, so to speak, and we know what we're doing. And I think this is now probably an appropriate time to have a Zoom meeting so that we can all see one another and to remember who we are so that the next time we see each other, it won't be such a shock.
Right. Much like we did with Sankofa. Now, I just was in the seminar that Sheila Scott Lubin made happen, okay, with Luke Wood, and I think it's Frank Harris who wrote that book that we read, the white and maroon book about black men in the academy teaching.
Yes.
Black men in the academy. I have the link, and I will send that to you. And anybody that's listening, if they want that link, you can reach me at divajc47@yahoo.com. Now, I do want to take some of these minutes and talk about mental health in the Black community pre the pandemic, during the pandemic, and post the pandemic. I want your observation.
Well, let's talk about pre, and then I'm not going to go during, but I will finish with the post. Pre, first of all, African Americans have a distrust of the mental health profession. Most don't believe there is anything called a mental illness. They may have heard about it, but they certainly don't believe in it. And that has been the biggest problem in reaching members of the community. They don't trust that what will happen in the therapist arena remains confidential. And that's to be understood considering the history we have had with the healthcare system and what's occurring with the healthcare system as we speak. Because of our unique situation in the world, and especially in the United States, of having what we would call a variety of health issues, these health issues also interact with mental health issues. Let me give you an example. There is a relationship between diabetes, heart disease, and depression. So in the literature, in the research literature, what we have not been able to tease out, for example, is what comes first, the depression and then heart disease, or the heart disease and then depression. And then there's also the relationship between obesity and depression. So right there you can see that a number of individuals who have these conditions, we call it in the profession comorbid, or what we would call co-occurring disorders. So not only do we have a series of co-occurring health issues, but they go along with mental health issues. Healthy body, healthy mind. Healthy mind, healthy body. So because of the middle passage and slavery, we are susceptible genetically to a variety of health issues. And these undergird the mental health issues. So therefore, prior to, there has been a knowledge that it exists. During, we're hoping to at least reach community and let them know that there are mental health experts of color who understand our plight as people of color in this world and are ready and able to assist them. But the only way that we've been able to reach out to them is through what is called one of the oldest institutions in the community, the historically black church. And that's, if we can talk to pastors, and we have done that, and explain to the pastors the importance of mental health, then that will be one way that we can address some of the mental health issues in our community. Now, if we can get that word out, then I suspect that following, if there is ever such a thing going to occur following the pandemic, but I think and am hoping that more people will engage in therapy and learn to develop the coping styles necessary so that we can continue to be a resilient community.
Okay. Now, what?
Go ahead.
What is your standing in the community? What is your website, first of all?
Okay, my website is actually very simple. Anderson Mental Health Therapist .org. That's Anderson Mental Health Therapist.org.
Good.
And if there's anyone there, go ahead.
Well, go ahead. What would I go there
okay.
for?
Let me, I would like to talk a little bit about what I provide. So for initially, there will be a free 15-minute consultation. At which that time we just have a conversation about what the issues have been in your world. And it is my job to try to figure out how your world is spinning. And if it's spinning a little too much, then what we do is we decide on when we're going to meet, and we'll engage in some conversations to help your world stop spinning so fast and to inculcate what I would call coping strategies to help you with things like anxiety, depression, panic attacks. That's basically what we're experiencing. And some people will be experiencing more serious mental health issues such as bipolar disorder. My background has been working with people of color, African-American men and women, with serious mental health issues, such as being on the schizophrenia spectrum. And I have also worked with Latina women and men. So I've worked pretty much with the minority or the marginalized people in our community.
Uh-huh. Okay. So people should go to Anderson, say it again.
Anderson Mental Health Therapist.org.
Okay. And you will be able to do that online or on the phone?
I am able, yes. Well, we will do that using a platform that is a confidential platform, and it's not Zoom, but it is through a platform where we know for sure that confidentiality will be maintained. We will also ask for the individual to sign off on an informed consent, and the informed consent basically gives me permission to speak with you. And the consent form also says that everything that we discuss will remain confidential, except if you plan to commit suicide. At that point, I need to get in touch with the next of kin, or someone you appoint can come and assist in that situation.
Okay. Now,
following that, yes.
Minute to discuss how NCBAA can partner with ASALA South Florida. What do you see for that?
My perspective is we need to, well, why don't you say, does everyone here understand ASALA and what its mission is?
Well, first of
I
all,
think,
it's a recording. This is a recording, so don't worry about who's here. They know about ASALA, and NCBAA
okay,
is on campus. How can we get some
now,
of those students? How can we get some of those students that came to the ASALA for Goodson, Woodson, sorry, to come on Zoom for NCBAA?
Now, that's a very good question, and if I were to think about it a moment, I don't think it'll be terribly problematic, but we would have to get in touch with the advisors. And I think that during the orientation, what we could do is to let the students know that these two organizations are working and plan to work hand in hand and give them access to both ASALA and to NCBAA so that they can become advocates and members.
That sounds
But we
good.
Would have to do that through the advisors.
Okay. Well, it's a way to engage the students. And I think that this school is looking for ways to engage the students. You know. So we're
well,
at the
important.
End of this. We're at the end of the program, and we need to continue this discussion.
I agree. And I do
okay.
believe that now that we're coming to the end of this year, now is a good time to connect with those students. And so especially now that we're engaged in both summer and fall registration, this would be a good time to get the word out to the students that these organizations exist and are wanting them to be members.
Yeah. And to join, but,
great.
You know, we get membership out there. We need to bring them something of value. So what you're talking about, the mental health of people right now, is extremely timely and extremely important. Dr. Anderson.
I agree.
We will be chatting. Thank you for being our guest. And also, you need to become a member of ASALA South Florida. So we'll send you an invitation.
Oh, I thought I was
okay.
a member. Or do I just need to renew my membership?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you, Dee. We'll be talking.
Okay, thank you
okay.
so much, Dr. Cartwright. I appreciate the time.
All right. Peace.
All right, then. See you.